Can a beginner flipper flip a house? Well, we're going to answer that on this episode today. My name is Mike, and we have been talking about the question about what do you do after eBay, or what's next? How do you scale up eBay? Well, one of the ways that you can do it is flipping houses. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that today and get into that. But first, wanted to welcome back to the show one of my good buddies, Carl Mandrioli.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going? Good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's been a couple months, I want to say.
Yeah, since the scam episode, I think. And I've been getting emails and people reaching out saying that they miss you.
Are you just making that up because you're trying to get me back on the show?
No, but I am leading into the question, are you coming back to the show? People want to know. Your fans want to know.
I don't think I have any fans. That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I think I shared, I don't know if I shared, but we talked about how I've got a ridiculous schedule of school year. And so school year, we're down to the last quarter of the year. So we'll have to reevaluate then, I suppose. But we'll see. We'll see where the show is, how it's going. And I don't know, man, like the episodes you're doing with Jen are awesome.
Yeah, they are really good. We're having a lot of fun doing it. I think people are tired of hearing us talk about Tupperware, though.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
There you guys go. Here on the channel, you heard it first. Carl, if his schedule clears back up, will be joining us back in the future again. But for now...
Not what I said. I said, we'll see. We have to reevaluate.
We'll see. I heard him say that he will join us back on the show. So that's what we're going to keep in the recording. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know I talked this over with you a little bit before, but do you have... You know, in high school, they ask you to create a 5-year, a 10-year plan, future plan. Do you have a 5-year, 10-year future plan?
Not really. I mean, I got like a loose plan. Nobody's really told me to do that though. Like you need to make these plans. I don't think I've ever had anybody like challenge me to do that. Yeah. Especially not in high school, but I have these like loose ideas. I know generally when I want to retire from teaching, for example, but I don't know specifically what I'm gonna do after that. I know I need to do something. Like a lot of folks retire from teaching and they're like, I'm going to golf all day. I'm going to fish all day, whatever. Yeah. And then after a few days, they're like, this is like boring. I'm going to go back and sub, which I do not want to do. So yeah. I think it's important to have that plan for sure. I don't have it like specific, but I have ideas. Do you?
Yeah, I've always kind of laid out a plan. In 5 years, I plan on being retired, you know, from my profession that I'm in right now. So I guess when you're talking about 5-year, 10-year goals, when I think ahead 5 years, this is what I want to see in my life, right? It's not like on the date, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing that. But in 5 years, I'm definitely going to be retiring. Like you said, I'm not going to be the one that sits around also when I retire, I'm going to be doing something. And we call it double dipping at work. I'm not going to go back and double dip at work as a contractor at my job. So I'm going to start my own kind of things and goals that I want to do. Even if it's another career, it's going to be what I want to do instead of what I'm working. You know, I've been working for a paycheck since I was 16 years old. Now it's going to be working for something else. So what kind of ambitions do you have afterwards? Is it backpacking and hiking, yard selling? What are you going to do? Not what are you going to do, but what do you think would interest you?
Yeah, I think something with like content production, whether it's continuing to build podcasts or video production, something along those lines. I've been blessed in the podcasting realm, specifically with the Backpack and Blisters podcast, but the video production, I've been told that a lot of my stuff is good, but it hasn't produced results to prove that. So I don't know if I should continue down that path. We'll see.
Your videos aren't good. They are great. They're inspiring. They create goosebumps. They create all the feels. So
if you look at the views on YouTube, they're not getting the stats.
Takes time to do it. We know that. But if you guys want to see any of Carl's work, it's over at the Backpacking and Blisters YouTube channel. He's got a lot of great stuff. He goes out in the beautiful scenery and stuff like that. But let's go ahead and dive into this one that we got going on. We bought the Tupperware, you know, it was a big step up for brand new resellers, right? We bought 1,000 pieces of Tupperware. That was a big step up in our game. It's been about a year. We're learning pretty good what to do. And we actually got reached out to by another person that has another storage unit full of Tupperware. So that's going to be upgrade number two, right? It sounds like it's going to be a lot more Tupperware than what we got the first time. So that's scary in its own. It's going to double our store again. So recently, let me run this idea by you. Recently, a house came up for sale across the street. Would you ever think about flipping a house?
Let's talk about the concept behind this first, I think. So,
okay.
Because there's a million shows out there, HGTV, whatever, that there's people, they're like, this everyday person decided to flip a house and look how much money they made. Oh, this house sat on the market for a little bit, but in the end, they cashed in for X amount of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have these like feel good shows with victories at the end, or let's do the reveal. Look at how your house is renovated now. It looks amazing. And they show some of the headaches in the process, but there's always seeming to be a happy ending, right?
Right. Well, you can't have a sad ending on one of these shows.
Yeah, you can. Why not? This is a train wreck. This is a failure. We put in $500,000 and we can't stick and sell this house. Like, so I think that's an interesting thing to show the reality behind it. Like, hey, not all of these things we do work out. This couple lost $500,000. They're hoping to recoup some of the costs, but it's ongoing. And in the meantime, they're paying their mortgage on this house, right?
So I agree with you. Have you ever seen a show that's shown the downside of flipping a house before? Have you, or has it always been the feel-good stories?
I mean, they show the challenges, and so things end up costing more. They always end up costing more than you think, especially for, like, renovations. We're going to buy this house. We're going to renovate it. It looks like we can renovate it for $20,000. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a foundation issue. It's now going to be $30,000. Oh, there's mold on the entire interior of the drywall. Now it's going to be, you know, it's like they always have that stuff, right? What's the most you can spend? Well, the most we can spend is $40,000. Okay, we have no more than that. And then like $80,000 later, they're like, I guess we'll have to spend it.
That's insane. No, it's a super risky venture like you're talking about there. It's a lot of details into it. And it's not a quick flip. It's the long game on this one, on that type of a thing. So I'm in agreement. But I like the idea of the show showing the failures too, because the only shows that I've ever seen have always just shown how much they made and it looks so pretty and it's so great. I think it would draw a lot of attention if it showed the backstory of some of the failures too, other than just the simple, oh, there's a pipe in the way and we need to move a beam and cut a hole and XYZ type of thing.
But here's the thing, here's what they don't show is that because they're making a show, all of their contractors are showing up. So, you know, you're doing this without making a TV show out of it. So you might have some guys flaking on you, or they show up, but it's 2 days later. We're going to get this done by Friday, but really we're talking about like four Fridays from now. And so those are challenges that the shows don't have to deal with that you might have to deal with. So I want to get into all that stuff. I think we should talk about this. So you have a house, it's up for sale across the street, and let's talk about the house. Okay. So you feel like it's flippable, so you're going to get a good deal in the house. Tell us about the house.
The house, what's interested in us is we've lived in our house for 3 years now since COVID, and this house right across the street, it's got this beautiful park-like backyard. It's got a bunch of redwood trees. It's a half-acre parcel, so it's a really big parcel. It's just, the backyard is set up like a garden. It's beautiful. And then the house was built in 1950, and it's just a single level, but it's like a 2,700 square foot house. It's got a sunroom, really beautiful sunroom with a fireplace in it. It's really, really pretty. But I'm telling you what, it's got this bright red kitchen, like red tiles, red bathtub, red sink, red everything. It's crazy.
Wait, it has a bathtub in the kitchen. That's a problem.
No, I said that wrong. The bathtub's in the bathroom, but it is a colored bathtub just like the rest of the house, just like the kitchen.
Okay.
So, and then I think I saw a little mold in one of the pictures too, on one of the walls. So it would definitely take
But in a picture, Wait, you haven't been inside the house yet?
No, I haven't walked through it yet because we haven't decided if we wanted to take on this adventure yet.
But it's across the street. This is low risk for time. Why haven't you gone through the house yet?
I can't just walk into a house. I have to make an appointment with the realtor and all that other kind of stuff. What, you want me to break into his backyard when he's not there?
If nobody's there.
I could.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. No, it's across the street. Just make an appointment. We're doing a podcast episode about this. What, you haven't walked through the house yet? Oh, my goodness.
I haven't needed to. I can tell everything I need to tell by the pictures. It's and the best thing is all these houses that are old out here were framed with redwood, and a lot of it was old growth redwood. So usually your houses these days are framed with Doug fir. And so it's kind of a cheaper wood. The redwood is really hardy, resists termites to the most part. So there's a lot of potential. They want 700,000-ish for the house. And my brother is a realtor, so he's thinking that maybe he could get the house for, hoping somewhere around 500,000, put $1,000 into the remodel and possibly sell it for about
When we say put $1,000 in the remodel, do you mean $100,000?
Yeah, sorry, $100,000 into the remodel. Yeah, $1,000 remodel would be nice, wouldn't it, for a whole house?
Yes.
So sell it for $700,000-$800, $200,000 profit. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know the market out there, but if your brother's a real estate agent, like, that's a good resource to use. So that's already a mark in your favor for sure. Okay, so what's the time frame on this?
Well, that's the golden age question. It's like, when can you get a plumber scheduled? When can you get the electrician in there? When can you get the roofer scheduled? It's all of those things take time. And a lot of our painters and roofers up here are scheduled out till September of 2024. So it's way out there. So that kind of dives into our first point that we're talking about. You take out a $500,000 loan, even if it's a construction loan, you're paying on that while this stuff's going on, right? Well, you know, you've got to pay a mortgage. So you've got to make that mortgage payment plus interest, plus everything. And then when you finish construction, just say it's 6 months out, 7 months out, and then you finish construction, get it listed, and then it could take another year to sell if the market's not hot. So you're looking at a year and 7 months worth of payments on a $500,000 loan. So that's probably, I'd imagine it's probably about $2,300 a month that you'd be paying, somewhere around that area.
But you're going to recoup the principal costs. It's just, you're just concerned about the interest costs.
Yeah. And you can recoup the interest costs too, right? You'll be able to write it off on your taxes, all that kind of stuff.
A little bit of it. Yeah.
We have our own mortgage ourselves. We have our own payments, our own bills. Now, can you add a $2,300 payment on top of your monthly payments for as long as it's going to take to sell the house, right? Those are the big questions.
So there's a lot of financials in that. So that's, you got to sort that out. So what you're asking is, should a picker who has shown success with small time things go big time? And I think that the answer to that, it just depends upon what your resources are. It depends upon if you have a realistic time frame, and it depends upon what your experience is with this stuff. So, So I asked you what the time frame was. You didn't really answer the question. Assuming that you can schedule these guys in an average amount of time, reasonable amount of time, from what you see in terms of renovation, how long do you anticipate the renovation lasting?
I would say until September to maybe beginning of next year.
If you bought it today.
If I bought it today.
Okay. So you're talking about 6 to 7 months.
Yeah, exactly. So that's six months at $2,300. So we're looking at about $14,000 until the house is ready to be sold.
Do you have a history of houses in your area that are that age with issues that houses have tended to have, whether it's like foundational issues or pipe issues or whatever? Like, is there a history?
The history that we have is, one is mold. And like I said, it looked like there's a little mold in that house. It's not the black mold. It's just, we live on the coast. It's a wet climate. So if you don't keep a humidifier in your house, you get mold on your walls. It's just how it is. The other issue that we have is the city, when they built the sewer systems, built them with the terracotta pipes, and they're just trash right after a while. So the main thing that I see with renos is that they have to replace the sewer system all the way out in the city makes you do it all the way out to the property line. So there's another, I don't know, $12,000 if you're going to, depending on the length of the trench, you know, if you're going to do it yourself, rent a backhoe and do it, or if you're going to hand dig it, hire some laborers to dig it, whatever it's going to be. And then just regular stuff like roofs, you know, tend to go because you get, in the wet climate, you get the moss growing in between the shingles and it spreads the shingles out, which causes leaks, which causes the roof to leak.
But you're other giving than me a that, rundown of things that you know about. And mm-hmm. what I'm asking about, is there potential for things that you're not, that you don't know about? Sounds like the sewage maybe, but other than that, is there anything that you're concerned about?
Maybe some of the mold stuff. If I tear the sheetrock off, if I go that route okay. to tear it down to bare bones. Might be mold on the 2x4s or something like that. The foundation, I'm not too worried about that because it's a concrete slab other than like my house has a crawl space. It's post and pier. And so other than maybe some cracking, because we do live in an earthquake prone environment, there might be some cracking there. But other than that, I don't see anything like, what else could come up? Cast iron pipes, lead water pipes, I don't know. You wouldn't know until you tore into that kind of stuff.
Rotten beams, I guess. I don't know.
Knob and tube wiring. So that's the cotton coated wiring that's in houses, that's in a lot of the older houses. That's pretty.
Electrical stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty prevalent in the Victorians around here. But in the 1950s, it was copper coated wire by then.
All right. So what skills do you have that you can contribute to this project realistically? Like, you're not retired yet. So this is going to be a whole other full-time job potentially, or part-time job at least. What are you contributing, or what do you plan to contribute?
That's the whole thing. That's what we talked. It's kind of what I talked about with my brother too. I have a full-time job. I have a career that I probably put 45 to 50 hours in a week on that alone. And then I've got this podcast. I've got another podcast, a volunteer at church, co-host with you sometimes on the backpacking thing. We travel a lot. So it's like, renovating a house, I'd have to put so much on hold. I'd have to stop and just really focus on what I was doing. I could see being able to put a lot of that stuff on hold. I wouldn't want to because I enjoy doing all that kind of stuff. But what kind of skills that I have, though, is that when I was in junior high, I built a house from the ground up with my stepdad. And then I framed houses, built custom homes for probably 2 or 3 years. So I've framed and built probably 50 or 60 houses. And then just general knowledge of my own house and working on my own stuff. I've owned a couple of houses that I've, you know, I've renoed my bathroom. I've done some electrical in my garage and things like that. So I feel confident in the skills that I have, but jumping up this fast, this quick, it's like from Tupperware to a house. What are you talking about? That's a big old jump, right?
For sure. So, I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of ducks in a row here. Yes, time could be an issue for sure. I don't imagine motivation will be. I feel like this is not a procrastination kind of project because you've got the longer it takes, the more money's going out the door, so to speak. Do you have any friends or acquaintances that are house flippers that you can lean on for wisdom in this regard?
I've had a lot of them over the years, and there's some that are up in the area, especially at church, that are flipping houses and things like that. And then the biggest asset that I have, though, is I have a lot of construction friends. Like, I've got a general contractor that I'm really good friends with. I've got an electrician that I'm really good friends with, two of them, actually. And so I'm not worried about making the connections or getting that stuff done too much, at least. It's all just, you know what the honest opinion is it's the money. So you're going from investing $2,000 into a project to $500,000 into a project, or, you know, potentially at the very least $14,000 into a new project. So that's kind of where it's a little freaky, you know. It's not necessarily getting the stuff done and finding the people to build stuff for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty conservative. I mean, early on when I was doing the picking, I was like, man, I don't want to make a bad pick. I don't want to throw $5 away. Like that's $5 more I've got to make just to break even on this. And I got this thing I'm going to end up, you know, either throwing away or donating or something. And so, but then as you kind of level up and you realize, all right, I'm going to make some bad picks. There's going to be some things that say they're selling on eBay for $20 and all of them are selling for $20. By the time I get around to selling them, none of them are selling. Like, I've had that for sure where I'm like, ooh, this product, what did I buy? I bought some piece of technology where it was like new in the box. And I looked on eBay and it was like, they were selling for $25, $30. And this guy was selling them for $2 a piece. And he had a bunch of them. I was like, I'm going to load up here.
Yeah.
And then a couple months later, I tried selling them and they would not sell. Like, no matter what price I listed them at, I was like, I don't know. What could I have done differently? And so I ended up just donating a whole bunch of them, wasting money on that. But because I'd made so much money, it didn't matter, right? Like, I've already, it's kind of like if you flip 10 houses and then the 11th one's a dud, it's like, well, you've already made a lot of money on it, so you can afford to take a hit, take a loss. So the risk is always when you first start, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And if you feel like you have the knowledge and the resources, I mean, you're pretty well researched typically with things. That's the question. I mean, you got to decide that for yourself. But yeah, the other issue though is, as you get older, when deals pop up, you're not as quick to jump on them, right? You realize this isn't always, you know, a lot of times it's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. There's going to be other opportunities. Maybe not the same exact opportunity, but similar opportunities later on. So when you're retired and you have all the time for it, maybe you don't get a house across the street, but maybe you get one down the street. It's just, it's still close, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a better deal. Maybe it's like a little bit dumpier, but there's more meat on the bone, so to speak. And so these are things you got to consider. Like, is this, do I need to buy this now? Am I excited to do this now? What's the upside of doing this now outside of just getting experience and getting money? Is this going to be fun for me, or am I okay to wait? Because flipping houses is not going away. Like, you're going to be able to do that in 5 years is my prediction. So these are things that I would have to consider.
Yeah, those are all very valid points. So let's break it down to our listeners real quick. So a typical flipper, like you're talking about, you're going to buy something for $2 or $3 that you can flip for 30. Then you're going to start buying something for $30 that you can flip for 100. Then maybe you go to computers. Then maybe you upgrade to mountain bikes, high-end mountain bikes. Maybe start going to scooters, motorcycles, then cars. Then maybe lots of stuff. And then potentially, you know, start changing your knowledge over into houses or something bigger that's hundreds of thousands of dollars of investments for you. I think that that's the natural course that a reseller would go, pretty much.
It doesn't always work out that way, but I know what you're saying.
Right, yeah. And just so that our listeners can follow along, what the natural progression would probably be, something along those lines relevant. And it's been my five-year goal. That is my five-year plan. After I retire, it was going to be that either start building houses or I started flipping the houses. And it's always kind of scary when you say flipping houses because you hear all the horror stories of homeowners that flip houses, and it's just like the ceiling fan that they painted over or all the brick that they painted over, just disaster zones, right? Don't know what you're doing.
Right.
The good thing that is about this house though, is since it's been across the street, I've known the people that lived there, and they just recently, one of them actually passed away, but unfortunately is a super nice guy. And then his wife went into a home. And so I've known this house and what he's done to it and the upkeep that he's done to it for at least the last 4 years. With it being right next to me, I have that local knowledge of, I know that this guy took care of his house. I've talked to him about it. You know, I've seen his backyard. It's just all that kind of stuff. As for if I bought a house across town, now I'm buying a sight unseen. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what the people did to it. I don't know the history behind it. They could have, you know, had shoddy contractors over there. Who knows? So that's what makes me want to do this sooner than my five-year goal and be willing to take on the extra headache and the risk involved in doing this, because I know how well the house has been taken care of and what it actually is like. So.
Okay.
That's kind of the backstory in the knowledge that I have about construction. So I feel like if I did it, I would do it well. I think I would succeed on this one if I decided to pull the trigger on it.
So worst case,
you want to come out and help me reno some of it?
I mean, I can do some stuff. I can do some demo stuff. If you're like, hey, I need this you know, piece of wood to be this long, I'm pretty good. Take the chop saw, have at it for sure. All I've done some, like, I've got a buddy who, I don't know if he was a house flipper, but he kept on, he was like a house upgrader. So he's constantly buying the next house, fixing it up before it moves in, upgrading it. And I helped him with a lot of that stuff, but he, I mean, he was like legit, like he sounds like he had some similar experience as you, but he just had, he'd done it longer. So,
well, you're hired.
I don't know if I could do that as my job. Yeah, that's right. I'm more like the labor, to be honest, but I don't know if I'd want to do that as my job necessarily. Mm-hmm. So especially dealing with like the subcontractors and just, I don't know, like they just
city permits, always, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's not, it's just like a lot of just junk. Mm. So yeah, I don't, I would say that, yeah, I'm probably not your guy on that one, but there's a lot to consider for sure. I mean, it sounds like you're pretty optimistic, but this house, you told me about this a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The house is just sitting there, man. Like, why isn't it selling as is?
The market is kind of, I wouldn't say it's on the downslope right now, but it's just kind of plateaued right now for a little while since interest rates went up. A lot of people are waiting to see if it's going to fall again before they start buying, which I think it's gone a couple of percentages or a couple of point of percentages down. So I definitely know that people are buying. I know that this house is overpriced for what it, where it's sitting at right now. So I think he's just got it overpriced. And there's only been a couple of people that have come over and seen it that I know of, that I've been aware of, at least.
Okay.
So I think he just has it overpriced. The market's kind of plateaued. There's still a housing crisis in my area. So people are wanting to buy. And it's just, like I said, it's so dated. You're going to have to invest money into this thing to get it to you. Like if we put the $100,000 into it, put a new kitchen, new floors, all that kind of stuff into it, and then listed the pictures on the real estate website, whatever it is, I think would have people flocking to look at it, at least getting offers on it for sure.
Gotcha. I would say it doesn't really hurt to put the offer in and be like, hey, this is what we can do. I don't know if it's a cash offer, if you can kind of get the money together to kind of make it more enticing and be like, we can pay you $500,000 cash. This thing's just sitting there. We got the money. Here you go. Yes or no, take it or leave it. Or if you're willing to negotiate a little bit or what. But I feel like it doesn't hurt to at least make the offer. And then if you're like, okay, we can make the decision once it, based on their response. Like if they come back at you and they're like, yeah, the lowest we can go is, you know, way higher than you would ever consider, then you're like, okay, it takes the decision out of your hands, right?
Absolutely, 100%. So yeah. I think first step is going to be scheduling a walkthrough, actual physical walkthrough, or breaking into the back window. I don't know. I haven't decided which one we're going to do yet.
Breaking's faster.
Probably schedule the walkthrough with their real estate agent. But no, that's great. I was excited to talk to you about this when it came up, and I was talking to my brother about it. Spent a little time, you know, going back and forth with him. He's a real estate guy and a money guy. So it was fun to talk to him about it. Fun to dream and look at it. So. Well, I'll keep you guys updated if we decide to go ahead and do it and take on a new adventure.
Like, yeah, the last thing we didn't talk about is pretty dang important, man. Is your wife supportive of this?
Oh, yeah. She's involved with all my crazy ideas. You know, like buying the Tupperware, I thought I was going to have to sell her on it a lot more than what I did initially. Mm-hmm. So, and now that she's seen that one's gone pretty through, I think is... She's really reasonable. So if she sees that the numbers work out, then she's cool with it.
Yeah.
If we have the extra $200 to $2,300 a month to be able to be safe and still make that payment every month, and it's not going to cause us not to make our own mortgage payment, yeah, she's fine. Yep.
Okay.
But
do you foresee being able to do a podcast episode, like regardless of the topic, without actually mentioning the word Tupperware?
Nope. It's my name, man.
You talk about Tupperware twice. This episode has nothing to do with Tupperware. 0%. And you keep on bringing it up. Is it possible to do a non-Tupperware episode?
It absolutely has to do with Tupperware. Yes. Tupperware was the number one upsell, game changer for us. So now that we know that we've been successful with the Tupperware, we can know that we're going to be successful with something else. Fair enough. I know. Everybody's tired of hearing about Tupperware. Mike, the Tupperware.
No, I don't think you know that because you keep bringing it up. If you really thought that, you wouldn't keep bringing it up.
I love Tupperware. And if you're looking for vintage Tupperware, Pickers Podcast eBay store has a Tupperware catalog.
I apologize for mentioning it. All right. Well, keep us updated on what, you know, like do the walkthrough. Even if they don't accept the offer, just like keep us updated on how it goes down because I think that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, you always want to keep your options open. Like you said, it's not going to be a once-in-a-lifetime deal. They're going to come open. Just keep your eye out and make sure that they're financially sound decisions if you're going to choose to do something like this. And make sure, like Carl was really driving home, is make sure you have the knowledge to do something like this. It's not just like listing photos on eBay. It's intense to do something like
that. No, and the TV shows make me feel like I look at some of the TV shows and I'm like, well, I could do better than that guy because he doesn't know anything. Like, he literally has no skills. He's just subcontracting everything out, but the subcontractors are showing up. And he ends up making less of a profit because he's not doing anything, but he still makes a profit. I'm like, well, if that guy can do it, I can do it. But really, it's not that easy because he has a show behind him that's just motivating people to make them show up, and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff we're not understanding. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah.
It's a big financial decision and a time suck. Well, hey, buddy, I appreciate you hanging out with me and chatting with me about this one, and I look forward to hiring you if I do get this house so you can come out and be a laborer for me.
Absolutely.
Willing to? Still willing to do it?
I'm not willing to, but you can try.
Perfect. All right. All right. So we're not going to give you the Tupperware update because I like leaving that with Jen. And I apparently, talking to Carl, I've talked about Tupperware too many times. So we won't talk about Tupperware anymore.
Not with me. It was just with the podcast in general.
No, we have been talking about that. And we're like, man, we need to get back out into the yard sales and estate sales because we don't have any stories. Right. We've just been relying on whatever's pertinent in the eBay world these days. So, and it's been going well. A lot of you have been reaching out and asking us questions and, you know, giving us feedback on the answers that we're asking about. So I think that it's still going to go real well, but I do want to get back out there and start having some more stories since we are a story-based podcast. All right. So I got trivia for you this episode. Are you ready for some flipping trivia?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so Carl, how many houses in 2023 do you think were flipped? And just estimate, how many houses do you think got flipped in 2023? Would it be, and if you're having a hard time and come up with the number, I can give you some clues.
Well, I'm trying to interpret the question. In your area, California, America, US. The world?
U.S. In U.S., how many houses in the U.S. last year were flipped? Do you think were flipped?
Like flipped by somebody, their job is to renovate and make a profit.
Contractor, whatever. Yeah. Anybody. Homeowner, whatever.
Okay. I have no idea.
Okay. So is it A, 125,000? Would it be B, 1.25 million houses? Or would it be C, 300,000 houses?
300,000.
Oh, nice job, buddy. Yeah, it was. Right around there. I think it was 308, something like that. Okay. But that's impressive. And it's a little scary because some of those backyard contractors that are doing some of the not so good work, man, you could be buying that house and it could look really pretty and nice. And then all of a sudden you go to hang a picture and the wall falls down or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, true or false? eBay resellers are excellent choices to start flipping houses because they've been inside so many houses at yard sales and estate sales that they have the best view of what's on the market.
False. I wouldn't know. I've been to a lot of houses. I would have no idea.
That's true. That was just a silly answer anyways. Do you ever check out houses when you're inside of them? You're like, oh, that's a neat design. That's cool when you're yard selling.
I mean, my wife does, but I don't. Like, I don't know. I'm just looking at... Ooh, I've been in a variety. I've been in like very wealthy areas that have junker insides and vice versa. Yeah. So, and to be honest, I was in a house last summer where I found the mother load of electronics and I probably only scratched the surface on what she was selling. She was in a super wealthy house. Everything was well organized, labeled. It was nice. It was a very nice pick because like it was all organized and I was able to incrementally take it out of the house. And I made a lot of money. But then I went into another house. It was like a junker house. And the guy had, I don't know if he was moving, but he had like little, it wasn't like packed nicely, but stuff was everywhere. And so I'm like, what about this? You know, so it's almost like, a garage sale inside the house, like an unintentional garage sale, right?
Wow.
What about this? And then you have this. Oh yeah, it's in this box over here. I had a great time picking through that guy's junk too, man. Like, I don't know. So I'm just paying attention to the stuff, I guess. How about you?
Well, it doesn't sound like it was his junk. It sounds like it was his stuff just still in boxes in his house. And he was just pulling it out.
I mean, he thought
it,
yeah. Like, well, there was a lot of junk there too, but he thought it was, I mean, obviously the way it was treated, he thought it was junk too. So I don't know.
Gotcha. All right.
But I love that stuff.
All right. So last question. What would you do? You buy a new house or a new to you house and you find one light switch that does nothing when you flip it on. Would you A, leave it there and never think about it again? Would you B, lay awake in bed at night wondering where it goes, eventually tearing out the drywall and tracing the wire back to an underground bunker where you find another cache of unsold Atari video games has been buried? Mm. Or would it be C, have one of your kids stand there and turn it off and on while you run around the house trying to see what light goes on and back off again?
Yeah, I love these fake trivia. These aren't even trivia questions. This is just like scenario questions.
No, this is not trivia. This is true. No. This is true trivia right here.
Yeah, I just leave it alone and don't come back to it. I don't
really
like if they haven't gone through the house and like gotten their ducks in a row. Unless I'm looking to flip, I guess I'm not looking to replace electrical stuff. It's expensive.
No, have you ever had that one light switch though that you flip in any houses that you've ever lived in? You flip it and it does nothing yet. You can't figure out what it does. It just drives you crazy.
Yeah. We have that in our house where it's like, it just doesn't go to anything. It's like, there's nothing there, but the builder just put in a double wall plate for it, but it doesn't actually like, it's not Whoa. Supposed to do anything, but it doesn't do anything. So yeah, wow. We have that, but I would explain that to the person who is buying the house. Like, look, you can test all the lights. They all work. This one doesn't, like, all the lights work, so you don't need this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one you just don't need.
Right.
Those are all correct answers, my friend. They were a little bit of a silly trivia, so I'm glad to hear that you chose rightly, except for I think you would have actually done number C and had one of the kids flip it on and off, and you ran around the house until you figured out which one it was.
I'm not into that.
No, you're not? Okay.
That's funny. Nope.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for everybody for joining in. Thanks to all of our new subscribers over on YouTube. We really appreciate you guys coming over and subscribing to the channel. We hope that we're doing a good job for you, and we look forward to bringing you more content. If you have any ideas or any questions that you want to hear on this show, feel free to leave them in the comments or hit us up over on Instagram is also a good place. And then remember, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you would. It really helps. 5-star review. Helps generate the algorithm a little bit better. But other than that, you got anything to close off with, Carl?
Any stories, or what do you mean?
Just anything. Any last words you want to say?
I just appreciate you having me on and letting me come on periodically. And yeah, I love talking this stuff, man. I love talking about the adventures, the potential adventures, all that stuff. So
yep.
I think it's time for everybody to find their own treasures, though, one story at a time.
Remember, it's not reselling if you don't smell sawdust in your dreams.